And as we bow our hearts before the Lord, I want you to just allow the Holy Spirit to open the word up to you today and allow him to touch your heart and mind as we receive his word. Father, we thank you for your word. We come before it humbly and reverently, and we honor your word today, and we place your word as first place. We're praying right now because we know it's important to pray before we hear the word, during and after we hear the word from you. And we don't receive your word as the word from a man, but the word of God as it is in truth. Reveal your word to our hearts, revolutionize our thinking, renew our minds with your holy written word. And we glorify you and we magnify you and we give you all of the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. We are still in our MOVE series. And today we're going to talk about move from just hearing the word to honoring it. And I want to reveal to you a key of honor that we too often have overlooked. And if the time allows, I'll share a personal story about this in my act of dishonor with the word of God. Because it's important to honor the word. Amen. In Mark chapter 12, we're going to talk just briefly. I'm going to give you the concept of honor, just a refresher in the concept of honor. Then I'm going to give you the specific category of honor, which is the word of God. Now, there's seven, what we say, categories of honor that I'm going to list for you and remind you of that it's important for our honor walk and our honor lifestyle to be involved in. But, friends, we need to move from just hearing the word today to honoring it. What does that mean? So I'm going to give you the concept of honor just as a review. In Mark chapter 12, verse 13 through 17, it said Jesus' the account here is they sent unto him some of the Pharisees and Herodians to catch him in his words. So they were trying to trick Jesus, okay? And they had come and they said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, saying, "Why do you test me? Bring me the denarius that I may see it." And so they brought it, and he said unto them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And Jesus answered and said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." So I want to start with this concept thought. What are the things that we owe God? I suggest to you that we owe him our worship. Jesus, our Lord, and our Father God are worthy to be praised. They are worthy of our worship. We owe God thanksgiving because the Bible tells us very clearly that in everything we are to give thanks. We are to be thankful. We're not to be unthankful. So we owe God thanksgiving. And thirdly, I want to suggest to you and submit to you today that we owe God honor, our honor. So we owe God worship. We owe God thanksgiving. We owe God honor. In Malachi 1, Chapter 1, verse 6, the word of God says, "The Lord of heaven's army says to the priests," he's talking to the preachers back then that day, the people in the temple, "A son honors his father and a servant respects his master. And if I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve?" God's talking about himself. The Lord's talking about himself. "And you have shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name?" So God is saying, I deserve honor just like your fathers are honored and respected. In 1 Samuel 2:30, the scripture says, "Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I promise you that your branch of the tribe of Levi should always be my priests. But I will honor those who honor me. And I will despise those who think lightly of me." Now, we call this is God's honor principle. This is the honor, big rule of honor, big principle of honor. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. I'm giving you a concept overview of honor just a minute to get your focus on honor as we break down that specific area. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. So we said before, returning our tithes and generously giving our offerings are acts of honor. They are acts of honor. So this is God's honor practice pertaining to our riches and our wealth and our income or increase that comes into our life. We are to honor the Lord first with our income and our increase. If God's last or if he's second even, he's dishonored. Amen. Honor is basically what you give what's due. When you get paid or increased financially, you get commissioned financially, you get a settlement financially, you get a sale, a sales transaction financially. Honor is due to the Lord as a Christian believer and Christ follower. Amen. Honor is about how I treat you, not how they treat you. Because some people think it's I'm being mistreated because I have to give or return my tithes. No, it's about how you treating God. How are you honoring and respecting God? When it comes to relationships, it's about how you treat that person, not how they treat you. Amen. Honor is more about my character than your character. Honor is more about how I see you and treat you than how you see me and treat me. Now you see how the switch is from people who are selfish or self-serving. They're always talking about, what about me? What about mine? Look at how they're treating me. So your honor walk is about how you treat them. And as born-again believers, we can't pick and choose who or what to honor. The Word of God outlines primarily seven areas in which we are to honor. We're commanded to walk in love, but we also commanded to walk in honor as well. How we treat God, the Word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, our leaders, our bosses, our pastors, and those around us is a reflection of our honor walk. So today, how's your honor walk? Some say, well, I got a good love walk. But if you stay alone and isolated and independent and always doing things individually on your own and focus on your own individual stuff, then perhaps you probably could grow in some honor. See, our honor walk includes and entails, number one, placing high value upon. Number two, esteeming or putting high regard or worth on. Three, showing respect and special recognition towards. So these are the seven areas. Write these down if you don't have the handouts. Seven areas of honor that we should actively engage in. Number one, first and foremost, is the Word of God. God and his word are one. So if you mistreat or disrespect the word, it's like you're disrespecting God. We're going to talk about that a little bit further because that's the first area of honor. Number two, honor the Holy Spirit. My God, we need the Holy Spirit today. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. You don't need to mute the Holy Spirit or muzzle the Holy Spirit. You need to be led by the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Come on now. You need to be influenced and impacted in your heart and mind daily by the Holy Spirit. When you neglect or forget the Holy Spirit or frustrate the Holy Spirit by trying to muzzle him, come on now, you're dishonoring the Holy Spirit. Number three, you need to honor your fathers and mothers. If they're still alive, your parents are due your honor. Number four, you need to honor your spouse. Amen. Husbands need to honor their wives. Wives need to honor their husbands. In a marriage context, honor and respect are very attractive. Dishonor and disrespect are very unattractive and repulsive. One of the big keys or reasons why people mess around or have affairs, they stop honoring and respecting each other. Amen. Number five, honor ministry gifts. These are your spiritual leaders. These are people who are over you in the Lord, set over you by the Lord. Amen. They're sent and set over you by the Lord. So that's your pastors, your teachers, you know, the elders. And number four, honor civil authorities. We see a lot of lack of honor about that today, huh? People want to always talk about who's in charge and roast them for all the problems and pains that they experience. Well, I won't stick on that point. Praise God. Number seven, we need to honor our employers. And you can put a slash behind that one because you need to honor, employers need to honor their employees. It needs to be a reciprocal, mutual, beneficial relationship. Honor relationship. So the employers need to honor their employees. The employees need to honor their employer. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 3:35, the wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame. So there's a difference between wise and foolishness. Wise people get honor. Grow in honor. And we want you to be wise today. So let's define honor just a little bit further. The Hebrew word for honor is kabed, which literally means a picture of heaviness or weightiness. To honor is to give weight, importance, worth, or significance to something or someone. On the contrary, the word dishonor gives us the picture of something that is light, trivial, or one of mist or steam. So it's not weighty or valuable. It's light and unvaluable, devalued. See, when you honor people, you're conveying or communicating to them that they hold a certain weight in your heart. You value their words. You value them as a person. You're not expecting them to be perfect, but you honor who they represent and the role and responsibilities they have. You're communicating to them that they're valuable to you. And when you dishonor you're someone or treat the relationship lightly or take it for granted, for say, you suggest to them that they are neither valuable nor significant. See, this can be done in many ways, but many times it's done through our body language, our attitude, our dishonoring and disrespectful actions. Now let's break this down. I talked about the concept. I'm just kind of reviewing that. We went through that last year in our honor school, but the Lord told me, get back to this because this is a big key. The first category of honor is the Word of God. Now, let me say right up front, the Word of God is to be first place, and there's no other place for the Word of God in your life. First place and final authority. The Word of God is to govern our lives in three areas, ladies and gentlemen. What we think, what we say, and what we do. The word of God is to govern our lives in what we think, what we say, what we do. So we would say this. We would say this phrase, and we said it before in the past. What does the word say? You got a problem? You got an issue? You got a circumstance? What does the word say? Because God and his word are what? One. They're synonymous. You can't separate God from his word. The Bible even says he's magnified his word above his name. But how are you and I treating the word? How are we treating the word? Now, let's look at an example here in Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. We're going to look at the example of how they treated Jesus. Jesus was the living word. And how did they treat Jesus? It's the same. Jesus left part of the country and returned to with his disciples to Nazareth. So he's going back home. He's going to see some home folks, family. People say fam or family, friends, people that they grew up with, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue. So he's doing his role and responsibility as the Messiah. And many who heard were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? They figured it couldn't be him because we grew up with him. You know how people treat you when they knew you back in grade school and high school and college, and you may not have been all together. You may have been buck wild. And they still got that in their mind. How can this buck wild kid do that? And then they scoffed. See, first they were amazed, then they scoffed. What does that mean? They defamed and dishonored Jesus. They scoffed at him. He's just a carpenter. What we call, we would say it today in contemporary, they marginalized and minimized the gift of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. They marginalized and minimized the gift of God that was standing right in front of them. The bread of heaven, the word of life, the word of truth. Come on now. The Ancient of Days, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Glory. They marginalized and they minimized. And they pulled him down to their level. Instead, he's the carpenter, son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. Those were his brothers, by the way. He had four brothers. So Mary didn't stay a virgin after Jesus. All right. And his sisters. So he had sisters, too, right here among us. And they were what? Deeply offended and refused to believe him in him. Then Jesus told him, a prophet is honored everywhere except his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. Now we know that that's where challenges of honor occur. Mostly with the people that's closest to you. Because they start to de-esteem or devalue you. Because they know you naturally and they get so familiar, and we know the word familiarity breeds what? Contempt. And so they get deeply offended and refuse to believe him, and they said a prophet is not honored except his own hometown, brothers, family. Jesus is responding, and because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people. Now, the prophet of God said that these were eight people. Now, his own hometown probably had 100, maybe thousands of people. And probably more were sick and needed healing. But only eight people with minor ailments, maybe a cold, maybe a sinus infection, got healed and healed them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. And Jesus went from the villages teaching the people. Went from village to village teaching people. See, Jesus' focus was on the issue of honor. He said a prophet was out without honor. But why? Because they were scoffing at him. and see, as the key issue of why they disabled and prevented him from doing any mighty works. They did it, not Jesus chose to do it. Because he said they couldn't do any mighty works. In other words, their lack of honor, friends, it limited Jesus' ability in impacting them in a powerful way. Same today. Our lack of honor could limit God's ability and the Lord Jesus' ability to impact us in a powerful and productive way. Their lack of honor limited Jesus' God-given ability to heal them. See, because of their defamatory or dishonorable treatment of Jesus the Lord, he was not anointed, or as I say, unanointed for them and to them. They stopped, they blocked the anointing. Even though he was the anointed one, he was the Messiah, they stopped it. They blocked it. They sacrificed the Lord's involvement in their life because they refused to honor the Lord Jesus Christ as they should. See, the scriptures reveal to us, again, that Jesus couldn't. It didn't say he wouldn't, not wouldn't. He couldn't do any mighty works. See, their lack of honor limited the ability of God to impact them through him. Now, what does that happen today? You can limit the impact of one of those seven areas of them to impact your life. I'm talking about your parents, your spouse. Are you listening to me? Your pastor or your minister, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, your employer. You can limit their ability to impact your life because of your dishonor or lack of honor. Now let's key in on the word. We're going to go to Mark chapter 4. Everybody good? Mark chapter 4, verse 14 through 20. Now this is one of the major parables, probably the major parable that Jesus taught about the word, because the word is number one. The word of God should be first place, first priority, and final authority in our lives. What does the word say? Governs what I think, what I say, what I do. All right? The sower sows the what? The word. And these are the ones who are by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately to take away the words was sown in their hearts. Now, he's going to give us four heart conditions. One's good, three are not good. Three are not good. They won't produce any impact, any increase, any influence in your life. There won't be any fruit produced in those other three heart conditions. Now, God is faithful to send people to sow the word in our lives, but we have to deal with the soil. The soil is the human heart. The soil is the human heart. Now keep going. Let's keep going. These are they, likewise, the ones sown on thorny ground. When they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, but they endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation and persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. That's the third type of soil. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. These are the ones on good ground who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30, excuse me, some 60, and some 100. Three types of soil. four types of soil, one only produces. Now let me give you the in the Amplified, verse number 15, excuse me. The ones along the path who have heard the word sown in their heart, but when they hear, now where is it sown? It gets in, but then it quickly goes out. It gets in, ladies and gentlemen, but then it gets taken out. Listen to this. Satan comes at once and by force, this is what it said in the Amplified, by force takes away the message which was sown in them. Hallelujah. You hear that? Excuse me. Just a minute. Thank you. And he said the same way the ones sown upon stony ground are those when they hear the word, they receive it and accept it with joy. In other words, they say amen, praise God in church, hallelujah. Now, this first soil I suggest to you is a calloused heart. A calloused heart. Now, this is calloused heart means this. It was along the pathway, and you know how it, when you walk along a dirt path, if you ever been hiking or bike trailing, there's a roadway that people have stepped on a lot, and so callous means it's hardened, and it won't get in. It'll just stay on top. The Greek word here means a way or manner of thinking. What happens? If we think wrong, we'll believe wrong. We'll say, I heard that before. And we won't engage at all with our minds. We won't give any thought time to the word. Now, I think, a decent job, maybe not good enough. We're trying to improve, but we try to make the word clear. We try to even give you notes and scriptures. But some people have calloused hearts as soil. That means they don't give any thought to, and then Satan comes in by force and takes it out. Are you listening to me? The second ground is what we call casual ground. Why? Because it had no deep roots, had no depth of earth. He said, and it came, and then when they had no real root in themselves, so they endured for a little while when trouble and persecution arise on account of the word. So if you get the word, if the devil can't immediately take it away from you, he's going to bring problems and people persecuting you. Persecution comes through people. Problems comes through adverse circumstances. Some people just, I just don't want no more problems. So what they do? They live casual. Because the word always gets taken out, or they get offended. And it says offended, they become displeased, amplified, indignant, and resentful. You had a whole bunch of folks resenting CPS energy. My God, you would never have any lights or heat without CPS energy. That's what we got to deal with. But, I mean, people want to chop the CEO's head off. Okay, can she stop the snow? Can she control everybody's thermostat? No. But people were bad, offended at CPS. They were offended at Saul's. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good today. What does the word say? When problems come, when people have a calloused or casual heart, meaning they're shallow, shallow Christians, what did it say? They get mad. They get offended. They get indignant. They get resentful. Now I want to skip down to verse 24 and 25 of this chapter, because this is the key, one of the keys I want to bear out to honoring the word. Because the third ground was what we call crowded hearts, if you want to just follow that same trend. The third ground was a crowded heart. So you had a calloused heart, a casual heart, a crowded heart. Weeds, extremes, distractions, disruptions. They worried. They gone running after money or the cares of this world. Lust of other things enter in. They're going after other things other than God. See, our primary responsibility is to share the gospel and live righteously. Our primary responsibility is to live by the Holy Spirit and not live by the flesh or by our feelings or by our frustrations. We're supposed to live by the Holy Spirit and live by walk by faith. Are y'all getting this today? But the fourth ground is the converted heart. So you got someone who's calloused, someone who's casual, shallow, no roots, no depth, no spiritual depth at all, no spiritual roots at all, no spiritual discipline at all. And then you got a crowded heart. They're just extremely going crazy. They're carnal Christians, living after their flesh, their feelings, and their frustrations, responding to their frustration. And then you got a converted heart. That means someone who takes the word and produces the word. In other words, we'd say it this way. They work the word, and the word works for them. They work the word. So how well do you work the word, and how well is the word working for you? Maybe it's an honor issue, ladies and gentlemen. Let's look at this. Mark chapter 4, verse 24 through 25. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. I mean, we can spend a whole hour or 2 hours on that phrase. But the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, at even what he has will be taken away from him. Wait a minute, what does this mean? Let's look at it in the Amplified Bible. The Amplified says it a little bit more clear. And Jesus is talking, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear. Underline that phrase. Highlight that phrase in your book. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear. Now, I told you that story. Let me finish the verse first. And then you will measure the virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Now, I'll give you two quick examples, personal examples. When we were in Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland, we were on in the minister helps. We're active in ministry. We were elders or leaders in the church. And I had gotten casual. Yeah, I got casual in the ministry of helps. And meaning what? When the pastor was preaching, I would have the audacity and the unmitigated gall to fall asleep or to doze off. And I had the audacity and the disrespect to not even pay attention or take notes. All right, listen, I can talk about me, nobody get mad or offended. And I'm sitting on the front row where the elders and the ministers were. And the Lord said, what are you doing? Well, he said, what you're doing is not good. Why? Because all of us have a responsibility for the truth that we hear. That the truth that's put out in the place where God has set us. And see, where he sent you, he also sent his word to you. But it's through that ministry gift a lot of times. And a lot of people don't want to honor the word that they receive from their minister or their pastor or their elder or teacher. Why? Because they don't do anything with it. They disregard it. They put it on a shelf. They might even put notes in their book, but they don't even look at their notes anymore. And today's technology, back then, it was cassette tapes. How many of y'all know, remember cassette tapes? Cassette tapes and stuff. And so we never got. See, when I was at Rhema, after I converted back, when in Rhema, you know, every time I served in the children's ministry, I got a cassette tape of the message in the main church. Why? Because I needed to hear what the Lord was saying through my pastor. And throughout that week, I would rewind that tape and go back and forth on that tape. And I would get that word down in me. See, today people miss church or miss a message. They won't even go back and listen to it, even though we got it on several platforms. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good today. People will fill in the blanks and take notes, but they will never look at their notes as soon as they walk out of church or step out of church. And I'm going to tell you how big that is, because Jesus said it here. Let's read it again, Amplified Bible. And he said to them, Mark 4, 24 and 20. He said, but I say unto you, be careful what you are hearing, the measure of thought and study. Two things. You give personalized. That's you. You give to the truth you hear. What is the truth? John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. What is the Spirit saying and guiding you into the truth that you're responsible for to hear in your church, in your place, from your pastor? We're talking about honoring the word of God. Not just hearing it, but moving from hearing to honoring it. There's a big difference. He said the measure of virtue of knowledge that comes back to you more besides will be given the more you hear. So some of us need answers, need wisdom, need insights, need understanding of how to work the word so that the word can work for us, and we're not even honoring it when it comes to us. Now here's what this verse says. I got this from one of my Rhema instructors when we were at Rhema, and a great man. He said, the degree of importance we place on the word and what we hear determines the quality and the quantity of fruit we produce. I'll say it again. The degree of importance we place upon the word that we hear determines the quality and the quantity of the fruit we produce. So go back to my story. I'm sitting on the front row, brother, and the Holy Spirit checks me and says, what are you doing? You've become casual. You're not even concerned or care enough to take notes anymore from the pastor's message. You allow yourself to get distracted and lose focus by even nodding off or even drifting off in your mind. As you're sitting there. I mean, it was rebuking. Of course, I had to repent and get restored back in my heart, get my heart back to a place where I had to engage with the Word of God. I had to make the Word of God and give it first place and final authority in my life. Now, I've had to do it many times since then, because you have to always kind of keep the Word top of mind and priority in your focus. Because your first response should be, what does the word say do? Amen. What does the word say do? You got to honor the word. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, this is the first indication of honoring that you have what you have heard by giving it think time. He said, the measure of thought and study. Are you thinking about the word you heard the previous Wednesday? Are you thinking about, have you thought about the word last Sunday? If you didn't give any thought or think time to it, then perhaps you're not honoring it. You're just listening to it. Here's an example of think time. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. How often? Day and night. Everybody with me? He said, that you might observe to do all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous. you make your way prosperous, and then you have good success. I told some people here, and one of my brothers, this, the Lord told me, he said, what are you doing with that? He gave me a revelation at Romans 8. But he again checked me. He said, what are you doing with it? He said, you're not using it. And you know the old common phrase, if you don't use it, you lose it. Or you lose from not using it. You got to work the word, friends. We got to act on the word. That's what our faith does. Faith is not sitting. Faith is not watching. Faith is doing. But faith is doing what? It's acting upon the word. It's acting like the Bible is true. It's putting the word of God first place and making the word of God final authority. So meditation is when you think about it. You recite it, you remember it, you rehearse it in your mind. You review it in your notes and in your thoughts. You go back and think about it. Meditation leads to revelation, which leads to results. So I went back and meditated on Romans 8. I'm reading it every day now. Because I don't want to lose understanding of how to apply the power principles outlined in Romans chapter 8, life in the spirit, life in the supernatural, because you need the supernatural. Because there's some negative spectacular things going to be occurring in our generation, because these are perilous times. And we're not supposed to be shocking and awing at all the bad stuff. You need to be walking in the supernatural above the natural. Come on, not living by circumstances, but living by faith. Acting upon the word of God. Are you listening to me? Now, what does meditation do? Now, to me, and we have it listed in this church, for finances, there's 20 scriptures you feed on. Because everybody needs to be strong enough to believe God financially. If you're not feeding your faith and feeding on the word of God for your finances, then when finances get stopped or blocked or stressed a little bit, then you're challenged. You're not in faith. You're going to be in frustration. And you're going to be in straight up fear. So you got to feed on a level. You got to honor the word on a higher dimension. And so feed on the word. Get faith in your heart. You got to meditate on scripture. You got to see yourself. We say faith, we mean focus on the promises. Using the acronym F-A-I-T-H. You got to ask God. If you're not dealing and speaking stuff daily, you should be. You should be believing God daily, using your faith daily. And then you got to imagine yourself with that, receiving that promise. T, that means you got to think about it and thank God for it. Every chance you get, thank you for your faithfulness to your word, Lord. T is thankfulness. Man, faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is what? Is glad. If you're not thanking him about the promise that you prayed and you're standing on, then you're not in faith yet. Because when you're in faith, you will rejoice and give thanks and be glad. Not sad, you'll be glad. And then H, you hold on to your confession of what you believe in. I mean, I got people in his room. We can testify. Some of us, we've stood in agreement for 3+ years. But that doesn't mean faith doesn't work. There's no such thing as faith that doesn't work. But you can't develop in faith or grow in faith outside of the Word of God. The Word of God is not designed to make sense. The Word of God is designed and packaged to make faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you got to meditate on it. So you got to Think about the chapters that you feed and read. And when you meditate, it's not to get the word in you. Because some people think the word's in me is the issue. I got to read more devotions. I got to read more books. I got to read, listen to more tapes. I got to watch more programs. Today, is, I say tapes, I'm dating myself. But you got to watch more videos, I should say. Watch more sermons and listen to more. So we think getting in is the big issue. But meditation is not getting the word in. It's getting the word out. Why do you need to meditate? You got to get the word in you and out of you. In other words, what? You got to get it, put the word into practice. You got to apply and do the word. See, this, the step between hearing and doing is meditation. It's think time. So how much think time have you given the word that you've heard? You know, our dear brother reminds us when he does the offering, you know, about the importance of offering teaching. And why do we do it? So you can think about it. When you're not thinking, you make mistakes. And you miss, listen to this, you miss opportunities. When you're not thinking. See, if you're all emotional and irrational, then you're going to do what we call dumb stuff. You're going to do dumb, silly stuff. When you're not thinking, you're making mistakes. And you're missing opportunities. And so every time the word comes, there's an opportunity for your victory. Every time the word comes, there's an opportunity for your triumph. Every time the word is sent, it has opportunity to deliver you and to bring you blessings and benefits to your life. When you do it and not just hear it or not just, I heard that again. Stop talking about tithing. I know about tithing. So you dishonor it now. So don't just hear the word, honor it. Listen to what James 1, 22 through 25 says. But be doers of the word and not what? Hearers only. See that? James, Jesus' half-brother, picks it up. Apostle James, deceiving yourself. See, when you just hear it, you deceive yourself. You say, well, I went to church. Or you may even post online. It was a good word. But what did you get out of it? And how much did you think about it? For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. So just say this is a mirror. So you come to church, you see it in the word. You say, wow, praise God. That's right. Amen. Glory to God. And then you leave church, you put the mirror down. Because here's what it says. Listen to this. He's like a man observing his natural face. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets. Immediately forgets. Immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not, listen to this phrase, underline this phrase, is not a forgetful hearer. If we took a poll, I'm not going to do it, but how many people remember what was preached last Sunday? Sunday before that. See, if we just hear it and we don't do it, we're dishonoring it. He said, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in what he does. Now, Paul's instructions to honoring the word, practical instructions, excuse me, not Paul, Brad, when you hear the word of God preached, taught, revealed to you, you keep it in your thought life until you do something about it or you do something with it. That's why we go to the extent of giving you handouts or notes so you can at least have a reference to do your own research, do your own review, do your own remembering, do your own reciting. What am I talking about? Think time, meditation. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so you keep it in your thought life until you do something about it. See, you take responsibility to do and apply the word and the truth that you hear. This is honoring the word of God, not just hearing and forgetting what you heard. Now, here's the fact. One of my bishop mentors said this. Most of the time, information you hear evaporates between 48 and 72 hours. So, for example, if you hear a message from your pastor, if you don't touch that message in your thought life or do anything with that message that was given in 2 to 3 days, all of that truth is wasted or squandered. That's why did we put the importance on the integrity of the local church? Why did we never shut down? Even if we had to go online, we never shut down. We never shut the church down. Why? Because the word of God is so important to all of us. Jesus even said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of my. We're not supposed to be living by our paycheck only, or are living by our means and methods only. We're supposed to be living primarily and principally by the word of God. And the word of God is the will of God in print. The word and the will of God is, so what does God want me to do? What does the word say? God, where do you want me to go? What does the word say? So if you don't do anything with it, 48 to 72 hours, it's evaporating. Now, you remember I was sitting on that front row, being casual, being slipping into carnality. Wasn't pleasing God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you can't have faith if you don't have the word, if you're not living and acting on the word. Are you listening to me? So I'm sitting on the front row, and everything the pastor was teaching, by Tuesday or Wednesday, I forgot what he talked about. So if somebody asked me, what are they doing at your church? What are you talking about at the church? I couldn't even say it. It was embarrassing. It was dishonoring. Because, see, that disrespects God and his word. We are in a country, we're in a community that they haven't put a cancellation on the word of God. It's not illegal to carry a Bible. It's not against the law to gather and worship together as a church. And so we take for granted and we devalue and we de-esteem the privilege and the opportunity just to hear the word of God. Now, some of us are blessed in churches where they teach the full gospel, the word and the spirit. And you get all the messages of faith, the authority of the believer and all that. We have a precious, precious opportunity. Are we going to honor it? Or are we going to dishonor it? Friends, thoughts precede action. Feelings are controlled by thoughts and not by circumstances. Thoughts always precede instruction. So if you're not thinking, what happens? Forgotten instructions are dishonored instructions. So you forgot what the word said for you to do, and you forgot what the Holy Spirit was prompting or plugged your heart to put a note down to do. Forgotten instructions are dishonored instructions. Some people say, well, Pastor, why do you say the same thing? Why do you repeat the same message sometimes? Because people forget. But I want you to say, how can I not forget? You got to put think time with it. Don't dishonor the instructions by forgetting the instructions. And you know what people forget most of the time? Under pressure, in the midst of problems. And I'm like, man, do I even know that person? Why are they talking like that? Why are they acting like that? We've given all this word. We got word, the word of God. The guys do a great job. Come on, give the guys on the media team a hand. Give them a hand. Hallelujah. They do a great job of making me look good. It's making God look good. It's not about me, okay? It's about God. So they make God look good by getting the word out and putting the word on catalog. I mean, if you go on YouTube, you look at the playlist, all of the series are there. You go on the website, the series are there. You got tons of word. What's the Lord saying to me? Go back and listen to the word. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you so much. So dishonored instructions, what we said, forgotten instructions are dishonored instructions. And dishonored instructions are lost change opportunities. So where does it happen? God's got a word for you. You say, man, that was a great word. Man, that was for me. God was speaking to me. But what happens? You walk out of church and forget the instructions. And so you forget the change, the instructions, so you dishonor the instructions. And when you dishonor instructions, you lose out on change opportunities. Now, some of us, when it comes to the offering or money or things like that, we forget the instructions and the change opportunities are missed because we squandered years and years of bad stewardship or missed out generosity opportunities. And it could have made a transformational change in our financial wealth and well-being. But we dishonored the instructions. We've heard healing messages and healing messages and healing messages and had oil poured on us. We probably got oil still in our pores. But what the Holy Spirit said do to act on that word and keep that word active in your life and to work the word, you forgot it. When perhaps your pastor even said, these are the follow-up scriptures to feed and meditate on, and we don't. I ain't got time for that. I ain't got time to speak the word and confess the word and get in the word. Forgotten instruction. Dishonored instruction. And dishonored instruction, you miss out on change opportunities. Some of us are perhaps behind schedule. Or we're off course. Why? Forgotten instruction. Hallelujah. In other words, you had an opportunity to make powerful, positive, and productive changes. And the opportunity was lost because of dishonored instructions. I was talking to the Lord about it, and I said, Lord, why aren't some people further along or things have gone along? He said, they dishonored the instructions. They've disregarded it, and they didn't do anything with it, so they dishonored it. Now, this is just like the examples in the scriptures, the Bereans versus the Thessalonians. Known as Acts 17:11. It says this. I'm getting ready to close. I'm closing up in here in a few minutes. You give me 5 more minutes. The people of the Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas was teaching the truth. Passion Translation says it this way. They found the Jews of Berea more noble character and much more open-minded than those of Thessalonica. So in other words, when Paul first, second missionary journey, when he went to Thessalonica, they said, ah. And some people do that today. They go, ah, I heard that before, or I don't want to hear that. And Paul's giving them the gospel. Now, some of them got converted. But most of them just said, yeah. But the Berean Christians went back and did what? They searched the scriptures. They looked up the scriptures, the same scriptures you got in your handout. And they looked up the scriptures to see and see what the Lord's showing them and telling them to do with those scriptures, they were seeing if what Paul and Silas preached and teach was so. And they just believe it because the pastor said it or the preacher said it. They were more noble and open-minded. Listen to what I'm saying. The scripture says open-minded. That means their mind was open to learn more. How many could learn more about faith? Some people think they know faith, but see, we can learn more when we're open-minded. We can grow more when we're open-minded. Now let's go back to the source of the word a minute, because he gives us an indication of honor toward the word. Verse 14 and 15, really quick. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes how often? How quick? Immediately. And takes away the word sown that was in their heart. So the word got in, but Satan took it out. Now some people say, Pastor, that's wrong. Satan can't take the word out of your heart. Well, the scripture says, Jesus says Satan took it out. Why was Satan given permission to steal the word from our hearts? See, Mark's account doesn't give us any indication or explanation as to why Satan was able to steal the word. Now, some people might disagree with me, but that's what Jesus said. Satan is waiting for you to walk out of this church or stop watching online, and get out of here, and by 2:00, most of the times, he'll have taken the word out of your heart. 2:00 tomorrow or 2:00 Tuesday. Look what Luke's account says. Luke 8:11-12. Now the parable was this. The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are the ones who hear. And the devil comes to take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See, Luke's account doesn't even give us an explanation why Satan was allowed to take the word of God out of our hearts. Why was he allowed? Matthew gives us the answer. Look at Matthew's account. Matthew 13:18-19. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, underline that phrase, does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So Matthew goes into an explanation as to why the devil was giving access to steal the word of God out of our hearts. I want you to see this. Everybody see this? Yes. Now there's three ways to get understanding. Let me give you these ways here. Number one, Jeremiah 3:15. I will give you shepherds according to my heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Everybody say, that's my pastor. So I'm not just a spiritual leader, I'm a feeder. My primary responsibility is to feed you spiritual food. Feed you the word of God and principle and in practical instruction. Says pastors, we're supposed to feed and teach both knowledge and understanding. And we've endeavored to do that. We endeavor to do it better. Knowledge is the word about God. Information, facts, truths about the word of God. Understanding is how to practically apply the word of God. Ministry gifts are gifted and graced by the Lord to enrich, enlighten, empower, and equip you with knowledge and understanding. Everybody say, you got to listen to your spiritual leader. So when I was on that front row, I was uncalloused in my heart. I was not listening to my spiritual leader. I wasn't allowing him through the word to feed me. Amen. Amen. A few more scriptures and we close. Daniel 10:10-12. Daniel's on the ground. He's praying, interceding. And suddenly the hand touched me and made me tremble on my knees. And the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. And stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, from the first day, underline this phrase, that you set your heart to understand. That's a big one. And to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. So you can be like Daniel and set your heart to understand. There's things in the Word of God that I've set myself to understand, and I put think time on it. I put study and thought to it because I want to know how to do it, how to work it, how to make it work for me. Have you set your heart to understand? If you have any healing challenge, you want to understand God's divine healing and health care plan and promises. Because you need to understand, how do I believe and receive my healing? But you got to put some think time, some study time. You got to set your heart to understand. Amen. Some of you may need financial understanding, understanding God's laws and God's principles and practices of prosperity and generosity. Set your heart to understand. Put some think time. Put some thought and study towards it. Now, we know the Ephesians and the Colossians prayer, many of us here. I'll just give you the reference, Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, if Colossians 1, 9, and 11. But he talks about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. You need to be flooded with clarity on the three major things God reveals to your heart and life: the hope of your calling, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Colossians tells us that we be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. That means your thoughts are organized in a step-by-step manner. That means I know what step to take, what move to make, how to walk it out, how to work it out in my own personal life. It's clear, it's orderly. Understanding has a connotation of your thinking being lined up right. And you can see clearly how to work this thing, how to walk this thing, how to do the word in your life. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. Y'all get something out of that today? So I can pray and supplicate and pray for wisdom and understanding of God's word, will and word. So the question I leave you with, do I honor the word of God enough to supplicate for it, to seek and set my heart to understand? Or do I honor the word of God enough to trust the minister gift, my pastor, given to me to minister knowledge and understanding? Am I honoring the word of God enough? Now I'll close with another personal short snippet. God said, you're not honoring enough your mentors and your ministers, because you know I have three primary people I listen to, watch at least once a week or whatever. So I'm listening to a lot of messages from them. But he said, just don't go through them, go back through them and spend time thinking about it. You know, one of the ministers just had a conference and there were some really good messages. Well, I'm responsible now to go back through them, take notes, think about it, meditate in it. Why? Because then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. I always go back and listen to this message at least once. Why? Because I have to internalize it for myself. I'm not just responsible to preach it, but I'm also responsible to practice it. Are you listening to me? Everybody good? All right, let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Hallelujah.